Shoes.
Recorded live.
Well, you always got to keep an eye on them tards here, and you don't want to turn your back on one of them. Anyway, greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Man's Ass Clowns across the fruited nutted Zog Plain in the open air, coast to coast nut house. We call Zog Babylon the third and the final. But this show, as always, is aimed at the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. This is episode number 151 of Movement Tour. Tonight is the 2nd of December, 2012. I'm starting a little bit late, around 8:51 p.m., more or less Granby, uncentral, unstandard, more or less what the fuck time. Tonight's show, I'm going to go ahead and call Hunter Shows His Heart, Linder Zogtar Show These Asses. You got to understand is that within our wonderful bowel movement, you have all these characters, and their motivations are not to go ahead and do David Lane's 14 words that we must ensure the future of our people and a future for white children. No, their notions is to go ahead and cause trouble, cause disruption, cause essentially the death of the white race, to go ahead and get their jollies, get their fun, get whatever they want to do out. And you got to keep an eye on them. Now, we had a Nimbuster tard who was in earlier, and pretty well I found out that if you go ahead and ignore them, sooner or later they'll take into their head to go ahead and spam the chat room. Like happened, what, on Logan Hunter's show Friday night? Get a bunch of this, idiocy. And, pretty well my Toshiba number one went ahead and, has had a little bit of problems. So I decided to go ahead and delete a tard while I could. And I'll be keeping an eye, of course, so much on the chat room. But in any case here, you have the same thing with Alex Linder, a.k.a. Alex Linder, the gut-sick weedo kikin weasel with two Ascades, who lives in Kirksville. And folks, I was going ahead, and Hunter Wallace has gone ahead and come up with a secession plan for a new Dixie. And what is not believable is that it's going to happen in any way. I mean, he can go ahead and argue about it on his blog, but I have some sort of respect for Hunter Wallace because he has actually gone ahead and tried to think things through, but the problem is that as long as you have Quakers being run by Jews on the other side, why, you're not going to have any solution at all. You can't trust a Quaker. You can't go ahead and trust any of these tards. So, okay, Siegfried. I'm waiting for Logan to go ahead and come in. Anyway, I'm hoping that Hunter Wallace will go ahead and come in, for that matter. But if Hunter Wallace calls in, that would be all the more to the best. But where was I? Looking at what's going on here, you end up having about, close to better than 2,000-some posts, and you have the same thing going on, like I went ahead and said on the Movement Turk. You got the first one, you got Linder, whose claim to fame is that he wrote a whole bunch of what he calls spin tros and what I call chutzpah tros. Essentially, Linder, a gut-sick little Guido, kikin weasel. I think the critter is a St. Louis, descended from a bunch of St. Louis German Red Jews from 1848. That's what I think they're doing in Kirksville. I think they're a bunch of German Ashkenazi Jews. And Linder's bunghole does testify against them. And essentially, He has nothing but hatred for Christianity. But he has a special hatred for Christian identity. Because what he likes to claim is he likes to claim that Christianity is kind and polite and nice to Jews and is taken over by essentially the modern plague of Jews, you know, being either Christian Zionists or being kind to Mamzers and the rest like the Roman Catholic Church is. But Christian identity, which doesn't suffer from those faults, is especially hated because they're quite aware of why Linder is Linder. He don't like that. And I'm not surprised that he doesn't like that. Why should I be surprised that Linder acting according to its nature? I was listening to all his posts. Second thing it's, you know, Linder's claimed to do is Linder claimed to have shut down a secret gay bar in Kirksville. Now, I don't know if there was a gay bar in Kirksville. We'll go ahead and take Linder's word for it, maybe. Who knows? Linder managed to go ahead and find a secret gay bar in Kirksville, and he got the bar owner's assurances that the guy shut down because of Linder. Really? Get it now. And you go ahead and listen to his talk here. He disdains the Midwest nearly as much as he disdains the South. Now, a real German farmer, descended from German peasants, like Linder claims, folks, Missouri, north of I-70, a cornfield county, one of them cornfield counties north of I-70, with deep black earth and plenty of rain to go ahead and grow corn or, you know, crops of a temperate nature, you would think that Linder would be in heaven. Folks, if I owned 160 acres north of I-70, well, hey, I would be growing corn and soybeans. Not Monsanto-type corn and not Monsanto-type soybeans, but I'd be going ahead and maybe running a family farm every so often, or maybe go ahead and rent out the land but keep a good-sized garden here. But Linder loves living in Kirksville. But the poor little Jew boy can find no place to live other than Granny's basement bunker. Now, he went ahead and mentioned Wyoming. Linder, of course, hated Wyoming. And let me just tell you is that Wyoming, what with all the sagebrush growing, is a rather grim place to live in. But on the other hand, heck, I have some cousins living in Wyoming, and they don't seem to mind it. What they did is they went ahead and planted trees, and just like my grandparents, they planted squares of trees as windbreaks. That's how you can tell a homestead, is that you have a square of trees and a double row of trees on the north side to go ahead and trap the snow, to go ahead and break up the cold wind. And, you know, like I was telling Logan about how South Dakota homes are squat. In many cases, every single one has a basement. And if they have the time, they'll go ahead and dig a double basement. And a South Dakota home is squat to there. But folks, Linder goes ahead. He has nothing but a contempt for the land and a contempt for the people, the Goyim people. Linder doesn't hide Linder's hatred. And then you end up, and I was going ahead and looking. You have Corn Cob. Corn Cob is holed up. An old building in Life, North Dakota. If you go ahead and look at it, they have one nigger, 16 people, one nigger in North Dakota, and now you have 17 tards in Life, North Dakota. And sooner or later, here he is. He's waiting with his expensive semi-automatic shotgun. He's waiting for Jews from the ADL, from the Ashkenazi Defecation League, and the Southern Professional Liars Club to figure out that wigger-tard number 16 with a Jew-fro, maniacal eyes, worshiping a dead Jew on a dick, a.k.a. Benny Klassen. So is so very much different from the other 15 wigger-tards, and not least one token Hamlet nigger. Why, that's their lawful prey. So corncob, he's just boarded up. He's barricaded. He's waiting for the Jews to get him in life, North Dakota. Why did he ever roam away from his home in life, North Dakota? And what is hilarious is that, you know, I really like corncob. Corncob has some get up and go. Corncob has ambition. Now, he's fucked up in the head, but I like that, too, because, heck, it really floats my boat to have somebody looking at corncob and me and thinking that corncob is the bigger nut. I mean, that really floats my boat. Okay, Jimmy Marr. Jimmy Marr used to be a Covingtonista, but when he migrated to Pacific Northwest, Covington had already gotten a sale. I guess he didn't have no more time and attention, for a soul's wigger-tard. And so, therefore, and by the way, Covington's tard corral, a ranger, doesn't have room for ass clownery. So if you want to be an ass clown, why, hey, poor old Jimmy Marr went to some place where he could be a tard, and that was Lender's Greater Free Range Tard Corral. And so I don't worry about that character. Yet this other character called Stephen Akins. I call him, everybody else calls him Fakins. I go ahead and look at him, and only one person had the sense. They had the sense, and, only one person had the sense to say, I'm tired of looking at Fakins' rabbi picture. And I look at him, and I see a cork-eyed, pinched-snouted, tubal-canite, pickish Jew boy. And the thing about Fakins is that he would support Hunter's plan to send them niggers back to the old cotton fields back home, if only that means that he could continue to draw food stamps. Hard work with a whip, overseeing them suitably, soon toiling niggers, doesn't seem to appeal to Fakins. Now, I'm all for Hunter Wallace's no longer secret plan for Southern nationalism. And if any blogger can make it come to pass, why, it's you. But seriously, before revolution, secession, and civil war can begin, an awful lot of the passable Whiggers need to be thinking of civil war and revolution and carrying it out. I mean, it's sort of like, back when I was in the Army days here, going ahead and reading the penthouse letters on their forum, and then getting up the notion of the need to buy a train ticket to go to Nuremberg for the cure at the wall. Folks, you need to go ahead and, whet a Whigger's appetite with Supporto before he'll actually go ahead and head out to the whorehouse and massage parlor or whatever. You really got to do that. You really got to do that here. And, folks, let me just tell you, I've been there and done that. But anyway, so I invited Hunter to go ahead and call in. He probably isn't. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's going ahead and doing whatever he wants here. And, folks, if he shows up, that's nice. If he doesn't, that's nice, too. There's a whole awful lot going on in the bowel movement. Now, last night, we had Mongoloid. Old Mongoloid Davies call in, and he was whining like a wigger pussy because old Artie, or as I called him, Farty, from North Minnesota. There is, a.k.a., I thought he was the Reverend Boa Cocksucker. But essentially, here is this wigger over on Nimtard, essentially making up the crap that old Mongoloid is a Mongoloid is a child molester. going ahead and telling all this shit about Mongoloid being a, you know, child molester. And here comes Mongoloid, and he's yapping, he's going after the mouth of the news kike about what a tard I am. And then you get on the, you get on old Artie, and Artie just says, I go ahead, I'm the one who's calling you a child molester, I'm going ahead and writing that shit up. What of it? And all Mongoloid can do is whine like a pussy about it. All he can do is whine like a pussy. Now, he sort of knows who this character is, but all he can do is whine like a pussy. Now, I end up having Jeremy Visser go ahead and say the stupid crap all the time here. Now that I say he's a millennial, now I say he's a mamzer. But, folks, you got to understand is that people who essentially use the system to destroy white families, be they Whiggers, be they Melanchian Mams or Jews like Visser, be they whatever, you can't trust them around white people. You can't trust them around white families. They need to die. And since Visser was born evil, Visser was born part spawn of Satan, and the rest was just nigger and red nigger tard. Why can you expect here that people who aren't people, who aren't even human beings, who don't have any business living among white people, why do you expect them to be able to live? But what I'm mainly trying to go ahead and tell Hunter is that critters like Mongoloid Hardy, why do you not like me, Pastor Lister? Well, I don't like you because you're a shit-eating possum. You're just like a fucking possum. You sit in the middle of the fucking road, and you can't make up your mind. You can't make up your mind to be evil. You can't make up your mind to be good. All you do is just sit in the middle of the freaking road like a possum. And for someone who's driving around, even in a freaking Geo Metro, with firing only two cylinders out of three, if I see a freaking possum in the road, I'm going to run over that possum's ass. And the possum don't have enough sense to go ahead and run into the ditch, either side. It sits in the middle of the road and scrunch, scrunch. Although it's a bigger scrunch here when you're, it's a bigger scrunch when you're driving in Geo Metro. When you're driving, now I bought a Cadillac for $600. A possum, even a big possum, doesn't make that big of a funk here when you're running over it. And folks, Mongoloid is just a tard. He's just a Whigger tard. He's just a Whigger pussy. And he whined like a Whigger pussy. And essentially, Artie treated him like a, well, Whigger pussy. Last night on the Newskike show. It's not a matter of hatred. It's just simply a matter of contempt. But you got to understand is that this is not really a war against niggers. It's not really a war against beaners. It ain't even a war against Jews. It's a war against Whiggers. And any Whigger that sides with Zog needs to die. Needs to die. You know, just like Jeremiah chapter 16 says, needs to die a grievous death and needs to be stacked out like cordwood and made, you know, let be eaten by the dogs and the birds of the field. You can't go ahead and trust a treacherous Whigger. You can't go ahead and trust, I'm sort of keeping an eye on an ass clown right now. But folks, you can't go ahead and trust those who will do evil. Those who will go ahead. Okay. Anyway, I'm keeping an eye on Pro Troll Artiste. Okay. Anyway, folks. Let's understand something. We have a Whigger problem, just like always. We've always had a Whigger problem. Whiggers are stupid and weak, and they allow Jews to run wild. And folks, trying to go ahead and build something upon the bodies of zoggling Whigger ass clowns is a failure. It's always going to be a failure. So anyway, let's see. I'm going to go ahead. I think I've covered, old Eli or James is supposedly going to be on the Pisser Possum show Tuesday night. I'll probably be there trolling. I'll probably be there getting blocked. Last night on Eliers, I didn't troll too much except at the very start. I was going ahead and asking Rebecca Maish, Rebekah Maish. You know, and she was trying, well, show me that picture of me and my daughter here that you slandered. Well, the fact of the matter is, I didn't really slander her daughter. I just simply said she wasn't white. She wasn't Aryan. Neither was Rebecca Maish. So essentially, Eli went ahead and, of course, blocked me. Folks, Finkelstein has a decreasing and declining audience, and I'm not surprised at that at all. That's what you go ahead and expect here when you end up having, essentially, open Mamzers. And that's what Eli James has. He's just a Jew boy running a Mamzer Tard Corral. Same way with Linder. And as a result, well, your meerkats and your ass clowns will gravitate, like Jimmy Marr, to there. But your serious white people will essentially avoid such places like the plague. If you're going to go ahead and try to build up something, I don't think that it's possible to build up anything. Because if you build up something, as long as Zog is able to take it, is able to steal it, is able to do whatever the heck it wants to with it, you're going to end up having the problem that they're going to go ahead and take from you that you put so much work into. The thing you need to do and understand is don't produce anything more than what you absolutely need and a little bit extra. Keep what you have. Keep what you have. Hold on to what you have, but don't build up. Don't build up a lot of treasures on this earth. Because Obongo and his niggers and Jews and Uyghurs will take what little you got and take it away to their own usage. Whereas if you have something here, just keep it quiet. Just keep it secret. Just keep it to yourself. That's what you do. I mean, this show, when people say, he's trying to set up a Zog false front, and the answer is, I'm not trying to set up anything. All I'm doing is asking those who listen to think for themselves and to save their own lives. Think for yourself, save your own lives, understand that you can't stop this mighty evil Zog bat. This mighty evil empire, this Zog Babylon, the third and final, from collapsing. All you can do is try to wiggle yourself out and head for a place where when the collapse won't affect you as badly. That's what you need to do. Don't worry about overthrowing Zog Babylon. Don't worry about changing things. Don't worry about building something with people you know nothing about. You need to go ahead and take an inventory of the people you have around you, friends and family. I work on saving your own life. So folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a couple minute break. I'll be back. Hail victory. Okay, folks, we're back. I was looking at the chat. I saved the chat. Anyway, let me go ahead and point out something about Hunter Wallace. He went ahead and offended me with old Ron Doggett, you know, who, Pastor John Britton calls him Doggy. Old Doggy was going ahead and make a big deal about me being a child molester and all that sort of thing. Now, if it's up to me, I'd make Doggy eat his nuts. Doggy would learn not to go ahead and be a Zogbot. He's a Zogbot tard. Has all the appearance of being a Southern Poverty Law Center tard. He's a big buddy of Trader Glenn Miller's and Wiggerswell Wheelock's and the rest. You go ahead on Lenders Forum, you have these tards acting like they're going to go ahead and outlaw Christianity. And at the same time, they whine like pussies that the Christians back in the old days weren't amused by their red nigger ancestors' antics, by their being a bunch of clowns, by their being a bunch of fools. Didn't much care for it at all back in the old days. None of the stupid crap was liked very much. So what I see, okay, let me go ahead and then mute a guest here. In the case of Linder, he not only looks like a Jew, he acts like a Jew, has the same hatred of Christianity as a Jew does. And if Linder was essentially white, he would act different. He claims to be a German peasant, and he has all the hatred of the land and the people that live on the land. Now, someone like myself, come from a long line of Swedish peasants from, southwest Sweden, around Helsingborg. I think both the Lindstedts and the Samuelsons came from that area. And they may not have actually been Swedes. They may have been these Geats, or these Geats, G-E-A-T-S. There were a tribe that was related most to the Danes, and pretty well they used to fight with the Swedes all the time. Here in just a half acre, I used to go ahead and raise ducks, used to raise chickens, used to raise tomatoes, used to raise a bunch of stuff. And generally, I don't know, there's something in me that just got to go ahead and raise animals and plant crops. I mean, there's something in me that just got to do farming. You know what I mean? There's something in me. I mean, I just can't help but want to grow stuff. You know what I mean? Be it animals or crops or what have you. It's just a compulsion on my part to want to grow things, both plants and animals. If I owned some land here, which could go ahead and grow some pretty good crops, I'd probably be growing some pretty good crops. On a couple acres. And there's something in me that just makes me want to go ahead and grow something. And Linder, listen, Linder, I mean, nothing but contempt for the land and contempt for the white people who live on the land while pretending to be one of them. Go ahead and listen to Linder Wright. All it is just the chutzpah. I wrote some Spintros, Jethro, Brad, whatever. How dare you go ahead and take what I wrote first? Well, folks, in this foul movement of ours, probably the one man who is probably defined a lot more terms or popularized them, probably as myself, hands down, far more than Linder. I'm going ahead and use a few little, usages like Linder, like it's, spell it I-T-Z. And for a miracle, you know, spell it KWA as in turkeys in the quaw. But in most cases here, I mean, you know, I've gone ahead and popularized Libertune or Zogbots or, you know, a number, you know, I didn't invent the term Namzer. I've seen Jim Floyd of Alabama using the term Namzer. And, you know, pretty well I've gone ahead and popularized the term Namzer. You end up having Anglo-Mestizo Truitt, let's see, the Pisser Possum. You have all these people. Oh, I wish I'd like to punch in the nose whoever told Martin Lindstedt the word Namzer, because he uses it all the time. And I do. You go ahead and look at critters, and only one, you know, you have one or two who have enough sense, you know, like, I forget which post it was, where he says, I'm tired of seeing Rabbi Fakins, they call them Fakins most of the time. I'm tired of seeing Fakins' Jewish-looking face on there. And what he does, he looks like a round-headed, you know, burnt cork-eyed, fictitious, you know, Tubal-Kenite, you know, quasi-Jew boy. And you got to laugh here, because here he is. He has time in what? Oh, about a year or so to post over at what? Close to 11,000 posts. What is that, 10 or 20 a day on Linder's Tard Corral? I mean, this is, let's see, in a year and a half, 10,000. So let's see, that's about 500 days. You know, close to 11,000. That would work out to be what? Oh, 20 or 30 a day. That's quite a few. Okay. Well, every Jew that exists here, you know, is a Namzer here. Now, there's a difference between the Khazar, Ashkenazi Jews, and Sephardic Jews, and the Khazar Jews are descended from the Canaanites, some of them became Hittites. And later on, the Hittites annoyed their neighbors. And thus, they were scattered but not destroyed by these Mediterranean, Germanic, Greek invaders. Some of who had Israelite blood in them. And so the old Khazar Empire ended right around the time of Ramses II. Ramses II, he fought the Hittites when they were at their strongest at Kadesh in, what, 1270 or so B.C.? But by the time Ramses II, or Ramses the Great, died in 1212 B.C., pretty well you had what was called the Greek Dark Ages of 400 years. Soon after, the Mycenaeans burnt down and conquered Troy. And then later on, Troy went ahead and founded both Rome and went on, like in the case of Brutus, who lived around 1000 B.C. in England. And I'll talk with Pastor John Britton about that. Folks, in these so-called Dark Ages, though, where there was no centralized, mighty, evil empire, in the case of the pharaohs, you had, in many cases, like a bunch of these, you know, these, what they call it, interregnums, you would actually have the ordinary peasants grow an inch or two taller, because rest of their food was taken by the pharaoh or by the old king or something like that here, when you end up having actual warlords. So when you go ahead and look at, quote, civilization, the people who talk about civilization are usually the ones who glorify the overlord, the king of kings, the emperors, be it Cain, Sargon the Great, be it Nimrod, be it any of these pharaohs. along with order and discipline, also went ahead and took all the necessary surplus and took it to themselves. Went ahead and took this surplus to themselves. So let's not go ahead. I mean, in the case of the Israelites, around the year 1000 BC, you had a pretty well a local kingdom under David, and then under Solomon, able to thrive because you had these nomarches, these local nobility ruling at the time. So when they ruled, well, hey, the Pharaoh was powerless. In the case of when the Israelites moved into Egypt, I think they moved in around the time these Hyksos came in and captured. You know, they were probably Hyksos emperors. And you had through the 12th to the 17th dynasty, you have a dynasty each on the Hyksos kingdoms. In the case of, where the Israelites lived in Goshen, and you would have a Egyptian dynasty in Lower Egypt from Shai of the Delta down to Elephantine. Pretty well the first dynasty under King Menes is a dynasty supposedly set up by either Cain or Cain's grandson. He went ahead supposedly and unified both Lower Egypt and Upper Egypt. And for a while, you end up having, the climate and other things. I remember when I was in that house, the end of the Old Kingdom came about as a famine because the Nile, for a period of a number of years, didn't produce very much. So as a result, they dug a freshwater reservoir in the delta to go ahead and produce water in case of a low Nile flow. And most of the time, they would measure at Elephantine. They would measure the flow here, and they'd have the cubits of plenty to where you have, not enough to flood everything out here, but you would have a layer of silt come in, and you would have more water, and that would be the cubits of plenty, and then you would have the normal Nile, and then you would have the cubits of want to where, pretty well, we're going to have a thin harvest because there's not going to be enough water to flood these fields several miles on both sides of the Nile. And, this is what gets me is that pretty much prosperity is dependent not only on having white people produce that prosperity, but it's also dependent so much upon factors beyond our control, be it the weather, be whether or not there is a drought. I mean, I was thinking about just the other day is that there were hardly any walnuts this year because there was a drought this year. And so these walnut trees did not produce hardly anything at all. My asparagus patch, even though I watered it some, didn't grow up very tall. You had throughout the land, you had a lower, lower crop, and not just, not just the corn, but of walnuts, but I guess of fruit trees, of about everything here in the Midwest. And how do you, how do you go ahead and control something like that? And the answer is you don't. But when you have a situation, and this is why I think the secession thing is sort of dying down a little bit, but it is at the front of people's minds. It has gone to where, wouldn't it be nice, essentially, if we go ahead and cut ourselves off from the niggers? Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't Yes, probably asparagus. You don't want to go ahead and water your asparagus with nothing but piss. That would burn them up. And you don't want to go ahead and pour such piss onto your garden and burn it up. Folks, I've lived to essentially the old-fashioned way when I was a kid. Essentially, my dad would set me and my three brothers, and I was the one who expected to do most of the work, with a wheelbarrow and a shovel, digging out chicken shit out from under the layer cages and scooping it into a wheelbarrow and dumping it into a truck. So I've gone ahead, and you don't do that. You don't do that sort of thing in the summer months because you will burn up grass. You'll burn up every crop here with either nitrogen or just the heat of this shit or piss here. So you don't go ahead and fertilize your asparagus patch or anything, really, unless you end up having the rain. And usually what I do is I don't do it before the rain. I do it a day or so after the rain. And then I go ahead and, do the asparagus patch. What I need to do is that Saturday we had a parade and there were a bunch of horses. I need to go out with a bucket and one of these little scoop shovels for ashes. I need to go ahead and pick up. I need to go ahead and pick up all the horse pellets and put them in my garden. And then rake up the leaves and put them on top is what I would do here. So, Scorpio, okay. I don't know if Scorpio is in here. Okay? You can yell Scorpio. I don't think I'm going to be on. Folks, I am banned for life on Spermfoot. And it's not just because of Clint Down. It's because of a number of other things. I'm banned for life on Spermfront, VNNF, and a number of places, okay? So, let's see here. Give me Linder's address. Why? Are you going to write him a letter? I don't have Linder's address. I know he lives in Kirksville. He has a P.O. box, so like Trader Glenn Miller. I know Trader Glenn Miller's actual address. I go ahead and post it every so often, on his bogus lawsuit, where he deliberately lost in 2006. I mean, Linder has, when it comes down to political action, Linder says we need to have a nationwide political party like Golden Dawn, and sort of like the White Freedom Party used to go ahead, or as I call it, the Wigger Flecktard Party. Linder could, if he wanted to, he could take over probably the county that Kirksville is in, or the United States Constitution Party, or the Constitution Party. He probably, if he'd have, thanks to Glenn Miller, maybe not, but he could have possibly, maybe run for governor. Linder didn't want to do that. Linder don't want to do that. Linder doesn't really want to carry out political action, and he doesn't want anybody else to carry out political action. Near as Trader Glenn Miller. You look at Trader Glenn Miller running for, you know, running for Congress in 2006. He got to where if you're a, quote, open white supremacist, you can't get on the ballot. And he allowed this law to be determined so that white people who have white supremacist ideas and Christian identity religion can't run. And I look at that, and I think that's a good thing. I think that's a, I think that's something that, well, white people should live with. Because if a white person cannot run for public office, and if a white person cannot vote for a white supremacist, essentially we don't have a representational form of government, which is what is promised. I thought of filing a lawsuit, but I decided not to because, well, essentially the courts are so corrupt that here is, you know, here is this, well, here is this old John Roberts. We need to elect a Republican so we can go ahead and have conservatives in the mold of John Roberts deciding things. Well, what did John Roberts decide? John Roberts decided that Obamacare was constitutional. It's a tax. But he went ahead and ignored the fact that this, quote, tax is not to be decided until it is imposed then. So it's not a tax then. Essentially, John Roberts just pulled it out of his ass. And you have the claim he went ahead and made the stitch, you know, the switch in time to save nine, sort of like they did against FDR. Well, let's understand something. The reason that Zog prevails to an extent is that we give it power. We give it legitimacy. If Zog wants to go ahead and do something against the actions of us here, like, say, steal your grandchildren and send you to prison to be, you know, to be murdered there, what possible obligation do you have to anyone other than your own family, which has been destroyed, than to go ahead and destroy the lives of those who sided with Zog? All they have to do is side with Zog to where they need to die. You can't trust them. You can't trust Whiggers. Now, that's, you know, I mean, I was listening last night to old Mongoloid Davies whining like a Whigger pussy. Here's Artie pretty well saying, well, why are you calling me a child molester on NIMBUSTERS? Because I want to. Now, if old Artie would be hunted down in his nuts, you know, squeezing a pair of pliers till they're a fine pulp, and then his nutsack cut off, and you went ahead and took that knife, and you busted his teeth down and shoved his nutsack down with the haft of that knife, and he carved out his eyes and notched his nose and did his ears. You think old Artie would misbehave? Certainly not if Artie went ahead and even seen something like that happen. But Lord Davies, he ain't going to do nothing bad against Artie. He's going to whine like a pussy. And he's going to go ahead and go, yuck, 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 my viscer. Going ahead and essentially posting bullshit. I understand that these people are vicious. They're vicious because they're Melungeon Jew Mamsers here. But you don't worry about the why, you worry about the what. All you have to do is side with Zog. All you have to do is, you know, you can be a wonderful Whigger, but you side with Zog, you need to die with Zog. Can't trust people who do bad things, who go ahead and go along with those who do bad things. Rather, you need to understand that they need to be destroyed. You don't mess with them. You don't trust them. And you're not surprised when they do evil things. In any case, folks, I'm going to go ahead, you know, I mean, you may, you know, I mean, Soltran, you may think, you know, Mongoloid's a good man. I mean, heck, old Artie and Newskike didn't think Mongoloid was much of a man at all. I mean, here he was whining. Well, I wouldn't mind you call me fat and a chrome gnome. I wouldn't mind that here, but you call me top monster, I could go ahead and lose. I could go ahead and lose my job. Well, okay. So here you have old Artie claiming that, yeah, he's doing it because he's just vicious. He's evil. He likes doing this sort of thing. Why in the world shouldn't Artie be outed? Why shouldn't old Artie? You know, from what I gather, Artie went to prison. Artie may have been, you know, I mean, I don't know. This Artie character, he sounds like one of the perverts that I was locked up with. An amoral pervert who has no morals whatsoever here. I've been locked up with perverts. And there's smarter perverts and there's dumber perverts. But what strikes you about perverts and criminals is that none of them have any morals. None of them have any remorse for what they do, any more than this or does. You know, this character I was locked up, old Larry, I'll call him Larry Goofy. He tried to explain that because he was bitten by a spider, that caused him to run, you know, to... well, molest the 6-year-old girl. I wouldn't really say molest, because the 6-year-old girl was one of these children from a long line of female children who were, you know, her mother was a professional blackmailer, used, you know, pimped out by her grandmother. And from what I hear, the grandmother was pimped out when she was young for rich perverts to molest and then have to pay blackmail money to. So you have, what, 4 generations of perverts. Fat ass's second husband. He was, what, 3rd generation child molester? You have these people, and they don't have any morals. They don't have any ability to, I guess, just simply say, no, I may have inclination like that, but I will not do that. And you see these people, and they just don't have any, they don't have anything at all keeping them on the straight and narrow. And I think it's because they have a good deal of Mamzer blood or something. But it's, you know, it's not just Mamzers and niggers and Jews that do this shit. It is Wiggers that you see who look like Wiggers, and they don't have any morals to keep from doing it. And you have, in many cases, it going intergenerational. I have seen perverts who, well, I remember this one pervert named Jason. He goes ahead with some other, you know, he goes ahead and supposedly molests in the bathroom a nigger, you know, some nigger named JoJo. I forget what the nigger's real name was. Doesn't really matter. 17-year-old nigger. Young nigger. And he usually liked, you know, because he looked like some sort of Mongol, he usually liked molesting white children, but hey, there was no white children locked up in the nut house, so hey, he made do with what he got. And he was undergoing psychiatric evaluation for doing the same thing to smaller children. Here's this character, I guess it didn't really matter about his innocence. He didn't really want to prove his innocence. He just wanted to molest. And you have people like that. You have people like that. And sometimes in society, you have people who are sociopaths, some people who are mamzers, some people who have no morals, all over the society. And we as white men are no longer able to put an end to it. And how you put an end to it is you don't try to rehabilitate. You just simply figure out whether or not they did it, and you destroy them. So, well, in any case, I have a couple sock puppets over on VNNF. The sock puppet helps me to essentially take the entire post without having to work too hard. But no, I don't, you know, I don't post on BNNF any more than I, well, I wouldn't be surprised if he was a, you know, he was a, yeah, Jim Giles rocks. Jim Giles, I think, is pure-blooded Wigger. He is pure-blooded Wigger. But he's also a Roy's Rage retard. In the last week or so, he's gone ahead and canceled the debate. Then it was back on, and now he's going to turn mean. He's going to go ahead and let the Roy. He's going to go ahead and let his pea brain-sized testicles and his brain, also pea-sized, run wild. And so, in any case here, I'm going to go ahead and look at the pictures. I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back in about maybe 3 or 4 minutes. Hail victory, folks.
Go ahead and dig up the two you have up there.
Okay, folks, we're back. I was looking at the photoshopped one of Rebel Star Wars Army. Folks, I actually changed old Cunt Hair Wallass's name, on my whitenationalist.org/forum to Hunter Wallace. Of course, on the secret forum, he's still Cunt Hair Wallace, but I went ahead and did change his name. And you look at the arguments. Folks, let's understand is that secession is not going to be given for free at all. I think we all understand that no one is allowed to leave Zog Babylon, the prison house of nations, peacefully. In fact, you're not even going to get people in your own area to agree. I remember when I was, 24, 25, hauling hay. I got out of the Army. I must have been 25, 26. Got out of the Army and was hauling hay. Here are these nice old, here are these nice old guys. Said, Martin, don't mess with my Social Security when you come to power. Now, these guys were, 50, 60 years old? And that was, 30 years ago? So they'd be, 95 if they were alive today? Most of them aren't. Roxy goes ahead, looks at the paper, and sees a bunch of these people. And they're dead now. Sort of like Akins. Akins understands. He lives in Jasper, Alabama. Old Fakins understands that, hey, if Zog is destroyed, there goes food stamps. It ain't just, food stamps. Ain't just for niggers no more. it's pretty much for everybody else here. In fact, you have this government advertising in the Mexican papers to bring these beaners to get paid from white taxpayer dollars. You have pretty much these Jews and Whiggers actually trying to destroy what keeps them in power, i.e. white families. Now, does that make any sense? No, but it is the nature of these particular animals. And anybody who has a notion, they can go ahead and change things. They can go ahead and make things different. He is not going to make it. By the way, Hunter Wallace, I went ahead and looked, and he has a dinner date at 9 o'clock. And, folks, I'm glad Hunter, has a date or has something else better to do than get on these talk show shows. I mean, you have somebody doing something useful. Now, I think this is sort of useful. I pretty well run out to pretty well what I wanted to talk about tonight. But let's understand the secession isn't going to take place until Zog Babylon is able to not bring you back by force. Now, I went ahead and read what I hadn't read already, The Freedom Sons, which was pretty well about what goes on in this border town area. And I think that was, volume 3? You had the first and the second one, where you had Longview, you had the year after Longview, and it ended 50 years after Longview, to where you had the very last of the generation which fought against Zog Babylon. You got to understand is that this particular president 50 years afterwards says he's the last of that generation who fought, who fought a guerrilla war against Zog Babylon in order to establish a Northwest Republic. And that chances are he's pretty sure that anybody who's after him will be of a younger generation born in freedom because, the name of the book is Freedom Sons. And, I don't think I give away anything to say, you know, to say that it is a book looking into the future. And I don't think it'll be as good, at least in my mind, as book number 2, book number 3, and book number 4. But it does put an end to the Northwest, you know, to the Northwest, front novels. Now, maybe later on, maybe Harold can create a series of short stories. Something they can go ahead and put on and add to the persona and add to it on his, on his life. Well, what happened to O.G. Ogilvy? What happened to a number of people here? He can go ahead and write a number of short stories, but not a major novel. And he has to really work on doing what he has to do here. But, folks, all these secession outfits, you're going to have secession. You're going to have Zog Babylon fall apart as fewer and fewer white people exist, and they became made mad. They become made desperate. There's nothing left. And in Freedom Sons, Covington, you know, in this fourth part, they're trying to go ahead and build factories and equipment. They're taking it out from among these cities, which has nothing but niggers and beaners locked up, to where now the average age is 40. Half the niggers do not survive. You know, half the non-white majority in these cities no longer survive. You only have 25% white people, and they are scattered across the white areas, like in the Dakotas, eastern Montana, parts of Minnesota. But you have all these nigger towns, which are surrounded by walls. And essentially, you have the white people taxed to build for niggers. Now, folks, how are you, 50 years is two generations. How are you going to go ahead and even have that ability? That's what strikes me. In this country, if you're a white man and you end up having sex with a wicked woman, having a kid, she can go ahead and essentially abandon you. She can go ahead and take the kid and live off of you and have a nigger or beaner boyfriend. And most of the policies are absolutely destructive. As far as this fiscal cliff here, you have a breakdown between Obongo and, John Boehner. And John Boehner has figured out reality-wise is that, hey, nothing's changed with this election. Yes, the Republicans lost 6 House seats, but, pretty much they can refuse to go along. And, folks, here's a nigger. He thinks he's won something. Well, nigger, you haven't won nothing. Essentially, you're talking about 50 cents of spending cuts for every $1 in new taxation. Folks, Republicans just simply walk away. And as a result, they will cut. They will have to go ahead and cut. But not only defense here, which is what the Republicans and their big corporate elites want here, but they'll go ahead and cut into Medicare, Medicaid. I was looking at a little bit of 60 Minutes, and you have these big HMOs talking about using their monopoly practices to put someone who's 65 years old and on Medicaid in the hospital for any reason, whether or not, they can come in there with a hangnail, essentially put them in the hospital to get these Medicaid payments from the government. And then go ahead and put a massive, a massive bill against the property of the Uyghur, elderly Uyghur. Folks, Carl Denninger points out is that we need to cut the corporate welfare state. If you're going to go ahead and run a hospital to where, essentially Juanita Beaner does not have a right to, deliver an anchor, mudlet. Essentially, you see, oh, by the way, did anybody see the thing to where here's a 16-year-old white girl who looks real cute and she is being deported because it doesn't apply to her? It only applies to Beaners coming in. I don't know if you see, I was looking over Stumbling and they were pretty well talking about that here. A white, young, pretty young lady of 16 years old is being deported. And she doesn't apply for the DREAM Act because, guess what, her parents were not illegal aliens. They got a lawful, visa from Britain. All this sort of thing, all this activity is overtly aimed against white people. And, looking at what Trader Glenn Miller and Alex Linder have created, where overtly white people cannot run for office, you can't vote for a white supremacist because they're not allowed to run. Well, folks, pretty well the entire lawful and moral reason for this government has collapsed. Why do you owe anything to a government which is run by Jews and niggers and Uyghurs and out to destroy you? And more to the point, why should you have any love or any respect for their rights or their children's rights? That's what you end up having with Obagender Bender. Obagender Bender is whining, Martin Linson says he's going to castrate the spawn of regime criminals and use little Uyghur regime criminal girls here to as nothing more than walking wombs to support a neo-aristocracy, whites. And what can I say to that? I have written that. I have pointed out, look, pig, you don't have any rights. Look, lawyer, you don't have any rights. Look, Mr. Judge, look, Mr. Politician, you don't have any rights at all. You destroyed your rights when you went ahead and destroyed other people's rights. You might as well just run your spawn through a wood chipper when you went in and destroyed my family. Why in the world should I have any respect for you when you don't have any respect for me at all? There's no point to it. No point to it at all here. Once you end up having nothing more than a social order, which is out to go ahead and destroy you and your family and your race, why in the world do you have a respect for the dead, hollow out shell, which is that government? And you shouldn't. But let's look at how things are. Sooner or later, these policies will mean that there's not hardly any white people left. And when white people do rebel in order to destroy them, to bring them under the control, to take what little they got, there is going to be a collapse. There is going to be civil war. All I'm just simply saying is that those who did this thing, they need to die. They need to die. Their line needs to be cut off. What the Jews are hoping for, you know, their number one goal for the past, what, 6,000 or 7,000 years has been to destroy the line of Adam so that their father Satan can say, see, Yahweh, fooled you. There's none of your line, there's none of your children left. And therefore, I'm the heir by default. I've won. And the Jews, being Satan's children, of course, believe in doing exactly that. Their number one goal isn't to rule. Their number one goal isn't to survive. Well, their number one goal is to destroy the white race. That's what their number one goal is to do. That's what they want to do. And that is what they lustfully do. Now, they may go ahead and think that if you destroy the white race and you end up having a bunch of Mamzers, the ones who have a little bit more white will somehow keep it running so the Jews can go, so the Jews can rule. But, well, sort of like South Africa, the Jew communists were running the niggers back there, back then, on the ANC. But the minute that the niggers took over, started killing the Boers and their farms and taking their farms and doing like they do in Rhodesia, the Jews ran. The Jews had nothing to make last here. Harold Covington, in his book, says that in Nuevo Aslan, You have a few wiggers in Aslan that essentially run the air conditioning, run the needs to create the perks for the ruling jefes, but they're not particularly loved or particularly wanted. Yeah. Look at the chat here. Folks, these people, these Uyghurs, will not understand their current life as an illusion till they see it being taken away right in front of their eyes. They're not able to go ahead and understand. Now, folks, Social Security, if it was really wanted, could be saved. But heck, I remember a year ago, a couple weeks ago, I was looking at my old my old recorded DVDs. I got my DVD player recorder operating again. I went ahead and smartly bought a 2-year plan for it for $20. I sent it in. It came back the day that Obongo was going to have his first debate. It was sometime, I think, in September, early September. And I was looking at the old DVDs before the heads got misaligned or something. And I was looking at last year's debate. And here is Ron Paul, savior of everything. And Ron Paul, is there any plans you're going to go ahead and cut? And Ron Paul didn't even, he's a libertarian, he didn't even have the good sense to say, well, let's go ahead and cut out Bush's prescription drug plan. It cost us $500 billion, and, you know, pretty well we got along most of the time without it. It was the last one. It couldn't be paid for. We as Republicans voted for it. Let's go ahead and take that away. Ron Paul wouldn't do it, wouldn't talk about it. If you had a so-called person who was actually looking at, you know, this here, I mean, Social Security can be, well, propped up for a while. It can be propped up for a while. Medicare cannot. Because you have, well, pretty well, just like tonight on 60 Minutes, you have these big chain hospitals which have a monopoly pricing, and, you know, Well, pretty well what they're doing is they're trying to loot what assets remain of white people. I mean, I am, you know, I mean, I'm, that's part of the reason I'm sort of careful not to get too fat, not to get sick, not to do something stupid, which will cause me to be sent to a hospital. So Medicare isn't going to last very much longer, and Social Security isn't going to either, because pretty much what they need to do is make sure that it can maintain itself. Folks, this unemployment has to be reduced from what? Oh, you know, from 99 weeks to actually a half year, which is actually paid for by the employer, as opposed to a dole or welfare. But what they've done is, because they've propped up the banksters and economic activity is going down, 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 well, you got to go ahead and give people fun employment. Not unemployment, fun employment, where they're able to get on the internet, they're able to do a number of things that, well, you know, that, you know, there's no real ability on anybody's part to maintain things. But this latest thing to where essentially they're not even paying payroll taxes into Social Security, well, both the Democrats and the Republicans have gone along with that. And they're talking about this financial cliff. And pretty well what Bonnier has said is that, well, no, talking about raising a dollar worth of revenue on the rich. And folks, these are hedge fund managers. These are the ones who got bailed out by the taxpayers and they don't want to pay taxes. So like libertoons. Libertoons don't like paying taxes. But here they are, government workers they work for the University of Missouri at Salem, I mean Columbia. Here are these libertoons who are government workers who don't want to pay taxes. So you have these wiggers, you have these Republicans. They want to go ahead and bail out their bankster buddies, but they don't want them to have to pay taxes on the money they've got through working the system. The answer is they don't. They don't intend to. They don't want to at all. Well, folks, if you essentially you're a hedge fund manager, you have made it well because the taxpayer bailed you out and you think it's all your money, or are you going to go ahead and get the money to be bailed out again? The answer is you're not. You're not. Oh, by the way, Rusper sent me an email. He's in Turkey. He went to Ephesus to see some Greek writings. And from what I gather, he's no longer going into bars. He's no longer going into bars and being, being rolled for euros here anymore. He, there probably was Greek writing on the men's room walls bars here, but he went to Ephesus to see some Greek writing, and I'm sure there is Greek writing in Ephesus, 60 miles inland in Turkey. And folks, anyway, I decided to go ahead and give a Russ Walker update. So well, there's not going to be actually any work here. This financial collapse here or cliff here. They're talking about cutting 10% of the deficit. That's 10%. Now, you've had, what, oh, $3 trillion spent or something like that per year, of which, what, 42 cents of out of every dollar is borrowed, and now you can't get the chinks to buy the debt anymore. And so what they're doing is they're just simply printing the money. And you wonder how long there's going to be, you know, how long there's not going to be until you have hyperinflation. Folks, around this time, 4 years ago, they had, what, $800 billion in currency running around the system. Then Obama's stimulus went ahead and added about another 800, you know, TARP had about another 800 trillion. Then the stimulus added some more. Then quantitative easing or something like that. You have five times the amount of, quote, currency that you did, what, 4 years ago? This time 4 years ago? And, you know, the only thing that hasn't caused it to go up is that because Bank of America and all these other big banks here, they're not putting it after actual goods here because these rich Jews, there's only so much wheat or so much steak or so much this or that that they can eat. So as a result, they're not bringing the money out to have hyperinflation, at least not yet. I was reading, what, about a couple of years ago that people were studying this book, which was studying the effects of Germany's hyperinflation of 1923 through 1924. And they got away for about a couple months to simply free-falling the presses for a couple months. And then it became known. So everybody dumped as much, you know, currency as they could. And they, essentially, the hyperinflation race was on because this money was becoming worthless. There were old people who, you know, there's a story about this old person who'd saved his entire life. And so he went ahead and withdrew every single mark out of the bank that he could. And he bought a train trip around the city. And then he went home and starved to death. There are stories about people who went and took these marks and either burnt them for fuel or used them for wallpaper. These worthless, what, million, billion, trillion Reichsmark notes. No, folks, we are not in good shape as a people. We are not in good shape at all. So what are we going to do about it? And the answer is there's really nothing we can do. That's what I get about the movement. And I think that's what people are beginning to understand here. Greg Johnson, for all his faults, real or imagined, essentially is running a publishing outfit in, you know, based in San Francisco. He gets, you know, he managed to go ahead and get maybe $40,000 or $50,000 or $70,000 a year. And from my gear, he's doing better than Covington is. Covington has a roof over his head, and he's able to go ahead and produce a number of things. But from what I gather, all this stuff is being done on a shoestring. It's not like in the days of the order, where the order is giving $400,000 to William Pierce to create an Elohim city for creators, or $250,000 to Trader Glenn Miller to run around 500 idiots, and, you know, 300 idiots. Actually, I didn't see 500 or 300. I see about 100 idiots dressed up in uniform walking around, North Carolina, And all these people say, oh, glory day. Well, folks, it may have looked good, but what did it accomplish? And the answer didn't accomplish anything. Pretty much in our bowel movement. Well, just like Mo Gullet. Here he is, Church of the Sons of Yahweh, $400,000 trust fund from the dead Nazi Harold Grooms. But they only give Mo Gullet $1,000 or $800 to start out with. And then the years after that, they give him all $800. And here he is sitting on $250,000. Well, $400,000. And he's not allowed to get it because Zog has tied up the estate. Now, Mo Gullet is out of prison. He's wearing a wire, according to Angelo Macizo Truitt. I haven't heard too much from that character anymore. And you can go ahead and look up sacredname.org. But, folks, now he has some money. You can go ahead and buy him a compound. He still doesn't have enough money to where he can't, he got a choice. He can hold an Aryan Nations Congress and make the Tards pay to mainly go see him, or he can have a South African Tard rally when Congress is no longer in session and make the cops get overtime and be surrounded by, what, there's about maybe a dozen of these Tards and be surrounded by 400 muds and niggers and Jews. Screaming at them. But it costs money to go ahead and bring all these Tards to Washington, D.C. So, pretty well what he's done is that seems to me that he's given an allowance of about maybe $10,000 and $20,000 here. Greg Johnson manages to somehow make in a rather expensive city maybe $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000 a year. And, poor old James Mira. He's living underneath a bridge or in a workshop or in a sheltered workshop or whatever, writing all spare time about homos and Negroes. And poor old Greg Parrott or Greggy's Parrott or Parrott's Greggy, whatever. I mean letters can sometimes be amusing. And here he is. Selling books and trinkets. It's back into patriotardism. Now, is there going to be a secession by Sandbags Crisco from California? I don't know. I mean, it'd be sort of amusing that the very same people here, like Governor Moonbeam, after he's gone ahead and run off all what remains of few businesses and white people in California, they're used to be middle class. He runs them off to Nevada or Arizona or even Arkansas or Missouri. And folks, I've seen these California refugees. We had one in Granby, 1994. In California, there used to be a cop every block of the street. And I said, well, then why did you move to Granby? You may like these, minimum wage pigs who are essentially running around and going after traffic tickets in order to pay for all these thieves and bastards, and, they're in their little corrupt police court. But you moved to Granby. Why do you like, why did you move to Granby if you like what happened in California? This is way back in 1994. You already had California refugees. But getting on to a thought, wouldn't it be sort of funny if the very self-same people who made this problem, all these Silicon Valley left wing granola bar eating, Fruit Loops and Tards and faggots, in San Fags Crisco, in Sacramento, in what remains of L.A. or San Diego, wouldn't it be funny if they tried to secede from California? Wouldn't it be amusing? But the thing about it is, you end up having this notion here about Jews or, rich Uyghurs, is that they can survive without a white working population and without a white middle class. And that somehow the niggers will pretty well go ahead and support them. Now, it has sort of worked in Chicago. You ended up having Richard Daley Jr., and now you have the Jew Rahm Emanuel supposedly running Chicago. But most of the time, when a city turns black, like, be it Atlanta, be it Birmingham, be it Detroit, once it turns black, it never goes back. They were actually thinking, these tards were, that somehow in, where was it here? Somehow in New Orleans, after most of the nigger criminal population was sent off to Houston and other places here, is that you would actually have a white mayor. But guess what? Mayor Nagin, or was it Mayor Nigger, got reelected. When a city goes black, it never goes back unless you end up having to fix in for someone like Daley or someone like the Jew Rahm Emanuel. Once you end up having white people leave and tax bases destroyed, all they can do is try to go ahead and grab at people from the states here. And that's not going to work forever here. When you have fewer and fewer and fewer white people, and you have fewer and fewer and fewer white people, we're looking at pretty well the end of the Republican Party. Now, I don't think there's going to be Zog Babylon around in 2 more years or 4 more years. But there might be. But I don't think there's going to end up being, any of this. And by the way, Harold Compton might end up, because you end up having that bitch Swillery. I guess she's on her way out of Secretary of State. That way she can't be thrown underneath the bus. No more when the niggers, when the sand niggers riot. Essentially, old Hillary, why, she's going to be rested, tanned, and ready in 2016. She's ready in 2016. Oh, that bitch be. Shit, that bitch will be older than Ronald Reagan. That skank will be older than Ronald Reagan in 2016. Hell, she be... I think she was born in 46, along with old Bubba Caligula. That bitch will be, 70? That bitch will be at least 70 in 2016. Okay? Old Bobby Jindal? I'm going to go ahead and World Economic Forum. Let's go ahead and click this picture here. Oh, heck. Hunter. Oh, hi. Old Hunter has made a mistake. He's made a mistake. In an internet full of tards, he went ahead and posted his picture. He posted his picture. He went ahead and took another picture. I mean, he looks really young. He looks even younger without his glasses here. And he's been, he's posted his picture. And, I mean, he doesn't look fat. He doesn't look fat like he used to here. But, he looks still sort of crisp and soft here. And, unless you're made of sterner stuff here, you don't really want to go ahead and post a picture. Corn Cob posts a bunch of my pictures here. So, I was looking at yesterday's news. The old Corn Cob, he's forwarded up in life. North Dakota. Now, he might spend some of the winter in OPTT Tony's Mobile, Alabama basement, like he's done before, even though OPTT Tony, being a Christian, has been banned from BNNF here for about 3-4 months. But what'd be funny is if old Corn Cob from, fresh from OPTT Tony's Mobile, Alabama basement, set up his University of Alex Linder. Well, we could go ahead and have Linder's little red book. his chest spot, or his spintros. You know, sheer Jew effrontery of Linder. Now, it's sort of funny thinking about that, you know. But it's sort of funny. I mean, me and Pastor John Britton, 2 years, you know, well, close to 2 years ago, when he was living in that hole, back of the abandoned Walmart in Kalispell, talking about capers and bobcats and stuff like that. I mean, we'd look at that, we'd laugh here. What's funny about Corn Cob is that Corn Cob, he goes ahead like a Kingston. He goes up to a bunch of obvious Jews, and they look at him, and they don't even think twice about him. And they think he's, you know, they think Corn Cob, for whatever reason, is one of them. They think Corn Cob is one of them. If he wasn't, if he isn't a Jew, he must be a total Whigger, you know, liberal tard here. They think he's one of them, and then Corn Cob opens his mouth, says about the dirty Jews, being the, he has a Mel Gibson moment here. He, about the dirty Jews here, causing all the evils of the world. Then the Jews go ahead and look and says, this tard is dangerous. Danger, Swell Kikus, and danger, and they run off here. But what is funny, what is funny is that Corn Cob gets within reach to blast him, or at least knife him or something like that here. And so here's Corn Cob. He's forted up. He's forted up in the dugout in Life, North Dakota. Corn Cob is forted up. He's ready. He's ready for him. No shit. Corn Cob is ready for these, you know, Corn Cob's ready for these people. Corn Cob, you know, Corn Cob, he's ready for them Jews to go ahead and figure out that he's the lone wigger tard that doesn't belong in Life. By the way, Life population 16 has 6 or 8% of its population being nigger, which means that they, you know, Life, North Dakota, has a token nigger. Who's thinking? Who's thinking? Life has a token nigger. And, you know, leaving it there. I wonder how well Corn Cob gets along with Life's token nigger. Anyway, is he chasing down that nigger with his automatic, semi-automatic shotgun in Life, North Dakota? Is he making Life miserable? So if he is, maybe when he's forted up in Life, North Dakota, he not only has to worry about the Ashkenazi Defecation League, but he also has to go ahead and worry about, you know, NAACP as well. That'd be funny. Oh, he's sorry. Andy got a few other people here, you know, Corn Cob, well, as well as Linder. Linder and Mumps Nuts here. What happens is both Linder and Mumps Nuts, they've confessed a love for, you know, they don't usually drink urine, but when they do, they prefer dose Linsteads. you know, premium bottled urine beverage / asparagus fertilizer. By the way, it's been sort of misty out the last couple of days here. I end up having, quite a few jugs across the street here waiting their turn here. So there's no shortage of dose Linsteads, at least not for now. Most of us have snuck in and gulped down a bunch of them. Okay, asparagus. Well, let's see here. I'll go ahead and look up for some here. You know what I mean? Dunkin' Donuts here. Well, folks, you know, that's a problem. That's a problem with going ahead and showing your face here. Me, I just go ahead and show my face, and people, I guess, you know, think it's so dang weird that they don't know what to do with it here. Last one that was funny was old Victor Swisher posting the 10,000 war dork, war dorks here. Had me wrapped up in a straitjacket here, and even had a little Jew kitty here with a star, a yellow Jew kitty with a Star David skull cap, on top of his little Jew kitty head here. Although I don't know if there's any such thing as really Jew kitties. Cats don't really have any tribal loyalty. Cats don't have any loyalty to anybody here. So I don't think there is really such a thing as a Jew kitty. Anyway. Here. Let's see. How long I've been yakking here? 46 minutes here. It's my break. And I'm pretty well running out of things to talk about here. Logan can go ahead and go for 5 hours. If there was a 6-hour talk show program, I bet he'd do a 6-hour one here. In case, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break of 2 or 3 minutes, and we'll be back, and I'll try to figure out either, whether to wrap this thing up or, have somebody call in. So, folks, Hail Victory. I don't know if there's audio. There should be audio. It says that I'm still, Brother Elijah's still on the phone. Okay. Okay, folks, I went ahead and re-engineered, the movement turd, Thursday night's movement turd. This past week, I've actually caught up with past shows of the movement turd. Now, I need to go ahead and work on the Comparé one. I'll probably do that tonight and maybe go ahead and do this one. So I may decide to, I think the 2 hours, a two-hour movement turd might very well be good enough here. I was looking at Covington's talk about a migrant to the Northwest who went to the Walmart and seen 95% white people. And, folks, I've been in quite a few Walmarts. I remember when the kids got taken away, my fat-assed stepdaughter decided to say she was nuts here. And essentially, they were taking their kids away from her. So she was a bit depressed here. But she'd go through the whole shit of, supposedly committing suicide so she could have a change of pace here. So I went up to pick her up, at the at the nut house here, a minimum security nut house up in Kansas City called Two Rivers. Went ahead, and on the way back, they had opened up a brand new Walmart in Lamar. And I went in Lamar. I went in the Lamar Walmart, and the place for some reason just seemed not only clean and fresh here, it just seemed to be upbeat. And I was wondering, why the hell do I have a good vibe from this freaking Walmart? And the answer was, unlike the MexNet Monet Walmart and the one in Neosho, which has a bunch of beaners here and some niggers, I was pondering it on the way, back from Lamar here, and I figured out is that the Walmart in Lamar didn't have any damn beaners or niggers in it. And so this white guy who's telling about how he went to the Walmart and is 95% white, and that's what he noticed, and that's why I guess, this was a good shopping experience. Usually better than, Walmart does not have a bad shopping experience, you go there, you get whatever, and then you leave. But, I can sort of sense what he's saying here. Now, sometimes there are times when I want to get the hell out of living in Anglo-Mestizoville. But Roxy, for whatever reason, likes it here. I bought too much property, rental property, I guess, here. Heck, even got old Peter's brother. He wants to sell me his half of the trailer house for $6,000. And I've told him, well, I'll tell you what, you go ahead, you leave, you go ahead, and since you don't want to go ahead and bring mom back down here to Southwest Missouri, why don't you go ahead and just have her sign over the farm to me, and I'll give you $6,000 for the trailer house. You guys can just head on up to South Dakota and have no reason to come back. Sometimes I even think of giving Corn Cob a run for his money. But I never really have a desire, I guess, to move to the Northwest here. But I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with Hunter Wallace if somehow, through blogging, he can get, he can go ahead and get the South to secede. He can go ahead and get all the niggers to either run back to Africa or work real good in the cotton fields back home and get old Fakins to, get off the food stamps and, make the niggers work. But I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening at all. So, folks, usually the people who are fucked up in the head, in some cases are faking it. Most cases are not faking it. They are genuinely fucked up in the head. And you have the vast majority of squiggers who, essentially the only thing they have planned is living off the dole here. What I do not see, essentially is Zog Babylon not paying out the checks because they're not able to do so, but then somehow keeping the niggers, and even the whiggers in check. Folks, there's no ability to keep this thing running for very much longer. For all those who say, I've been hearing about the decline and the decay of the West forever, I keep on telling the story about, you know, that I heard at a Feast of Tabernacles back when I was a kid, about how, you know, this was an air transport, a commercial flight back in the days of propellers, when you end up having a big engine in the nose, and you had about four of them on the wings. You know, the pilot says, "Well, folks, we just had an engine overheat or go bad, smoke in here. I had to shut down, and I had to shut down another engine here to balance it out here. What happens? We're going to be a half hour late here." And then another one goes wrong because it's overheated. So, folks, we're going to be a couple hours late, you know, on there. And essentially, they only have about one engine left here. Says, "Well, folks, I'm going to go ahead and head for the closest airport here we can, but it's going to take a while." And this little boy says to his mother, he says, "Well, if we lose that last engine, Mom, we're going to be up here all day." Folks, when the last engine fades out, Zog Babylon is not going to be up here all day. There's people who, "Oh, Zog is too powerful, it's too strong." Well, folks, there's never been a mighty evil empire which has lasted forever. I think Harold Covington, he's gone ahead several times, said nothing lasts forever. That was the byword in the Dune books about what happened during the Butlerian Jihad, where these robots take over for these evil men who are cyborgs. And pretty well, they ask one of these brains that have been alive for 2,000 years, "What do you recommend?" And essentially, the cyborg says, "Nothing lasts forever." Folks, even the biggest tyranny, the most powerful tyranny known to man, doesn't last forever, because essentially the fuel for it is being burnt away, being destroyed away, being, you know, evaporated away. Every empire destroys its founding stock. And Rome was a prime example of that. And Harold Covington was saying about how when you had little Romulus Augustus, he was propped up by a Germanic chieftain named Odoacer in 474 A.D. And then 2 years later, Odoacer decided, "Hey, I don't need to keep the pretense running," and they put little Romulus Augustus, he was about 4 or 5 at the time, went ahead and pretty well pensioned him off to a farm or wherever, and he openly ruled. There was no more supposed Roman emperor. And folks, that is when they say the Dark Ages began. That was the fall of the Roman Empire. But folks, the Roman Empire had been falling in many ways ever since Augustus Caesar set it up, and after he died in 14 AD. You had a withering away of the ancient stock. And I told about how Tiberius and Caius Gracchus tried to essentially understand is that we can't have a Roman society unless we have Roman children, we have Roman soldiers and Roman legions conquering things here. Heck, even these Aryans who migrated to India and set up a caste system, a color line called Varna, even they understood that you can't maintain an empire if you don't have fights of all sorts to maintain it. Folks, here we are. We're so, you know, Zog is, you know, Zog and the Jews are so delusional. But they say diversity is our strength. But you have Whiggers, the very self-same Whiggers who say the stupid shit. In real life, they know better. They don't want to live with nigger diversity. They don't want to live with beaner diversity. They don't want to live with these creatures at all. I mean, the Beaners, they're just like cockroaches. I mean, heck, I was locked up in a cage. I was locked up in, well, a cage with these, essentially with a, you know, with a, in a collection of cages, either jail or nut house, with these creatures. And they, you know, they both hate and fear us. If you're stupid enough to do away with the, you know, with the fear, you're going to reap the hate. But folks, this plane, this Zog Babylon, is not going to last forever. So Hunter is actually doing a favor, even though it's wishful thinking in many cases. He's contributing. What Lotham Stoddard said in his masterpiece of Revolt Against Civilization, The Mess of the Underman, he is giving this destructive criticism of Zog Babylon. Therefore, he's doing far more than Alex Linder ever would here. Greg Johnson is doing far more than Alex Linder. When Alex Linder goes ahead and, you know, says that he made Dr. Kevin McDonald, and I'm not a big fan of Kevin McDonald, but folks, Kevin McDonald does fulfill a useful purpose explaining to those who don't understand that Jews are a spawn of Satan, that, well, Jews are a spawn of Satan. Therefore, Dr. Kevin McDonald, even though I don't agree with his efforts, is doing something useful. He's contributing destructive criticism, criticism that Zog cannot follow. Zog won't follow. Hunter Wallace, by going ahead and keeping the idea of secession for Southerners, he's just being the same way as just any other Bama boy that I've ever met here, being in the Army, which essentially still hasn't figured out they got their ass whooped in 1865. And even if they did get their ass whooped in 1865, they are looking for a rematch. And am I going to go ahead and discourage Hunter Wallace for doing that? Hell no. I'm going to encourage Hunter Wallace to do that. Generally, listen to these tards, these mamzers, these Jews whining and pissing and moaning about Christianity, both whipping their ass and killing them all, millions and millions and millions of people, and it's been a regular Holocaust because of white Christians. And then making fun of white Christians, who cares? I mean, VNNF is just a tard corral. Greg Johnson don't allow Alex Linder to post unless he likes what Alex Linder has to say. Kevin McDonald, I think, follows a similar process. Folks, these people are doing, these Whiggers, these smart Whiggers are doing the same thing that I do with Eli James and that I do, you know, with Jeremy Visser. They're playing in their own genteel way a game of Cossack and Jew boys. You know what I mean? And then when you end up having heavy artillery and tanks, you call it Nazi versus Jew boys. What you do is you get the Jew boy who's taken over, locked up in his new ghetto, and you circle and you snipe and you do that sort of thing. And both Kevin McDonald and Hunter Wallace and Greg Johnson are doing that. And I think that's a good thing. So, you know, pretty well, there's nothing really new going on in the bowel movement. There's going to be an interview tomorrow. And I think it's a good thing. I think it really is a good thing. If Roid Rage Retard goes ahead and screams and hollers, you know, Hunter, just hang up the phone. Hang up the phone. And I'm going to try to encourage him. He's going on day. I'm going to try to encourage him to open up a thread. Open up the thread so I can go ahead and just, you know, just trash out the Linder tard. And if Roid Rage Retard goes, I think Roid Rage is getting tired of Linder's Jew horseshit because, you know, essentially Jim Giles is not a Christian or he doesn't want to be a Christian. He has problems with Christians. But he understands the Southerners are Christians. They may end up being Baptist, you know, Baptist and Pentecostal lit heads, but they are Christians. And running around and shitting all over them is a non-starter. It can work if you're a Jew boy locked up in Granny's Fuhrer bunker, but don't work anywhere else. So, any case here, Roid Rage Retard. I like Roid Rage Retard. So anyway, well, you know, Kevin McDonald, I mean, I think he's a real smart man. But as far as political action here, he's a complete naive tard here. I mean, I've actually run political campaigns. I've actually caused trouble for the Republicans here. That's part of the reason I, you know, got into the, you know, had my family destroyed and got sent to, you know, the nut house here. You know, they were out to get me. They were out to get me. So anyway, folks, even if this fighting that Hunter Wallace and Greg Johnson and Kevin McDonald does is not altogether effective, every little bit helps. Every little bit helps. And I think what we should do is we should understand that essentially they're sort of on our side here. None of us, to be honest with you, none of us are hurt by Hunter Wallace talking about neo-Southern secession here. I mean, heck, I got to laugh at old Jimmy Marr. He used to be associated with Covington, and I guess Covington didn't, supply him with enough fun once he got up to Oregon or something like that. So now he's part of Linder's Star Corral. And folks, you're gonna go ahead and have with meerkats. You're gonna have shifting meerkat alliances. You gotta understand that, okay? So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead. I'm thinking of going ahead and calling the night. That way I can get this show up. I'm sort of caught up. I can go ahead and get the show up. And, we'll go ahead and see what happens Thursday. There'll be some more stuff. I'll be pretty well figuring. I'll be trolling Pisser Possum. I will be trolling the Pisser Possum chat with the liar. I mean, here you have two Mamzers and part Jews running around whining. I don't know what the hell they're going to talk about, because there's not a dang thing they can do about me, and old Visser will be whining and pissing and moaning as though we'll open gender better. It'll be about Marty, Marty, Marty. Marty, Marty, Marty. So, maybe, oh, by the way, old Elier's head faces the right way. I bet he actually likes Dose Winstead as well. So, folks, there's going to be the Jim Giles thing. I don't see anything big happening unless Roid Rage Retard just really goes hog wild. But he might. That's the reason people listen to his shows, is that you don't know if anything good's going to happen, but you're always looking for a train wreck. And, you know, there's always just roll the dice. There's always the expectation of such. So, folks, let's go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and call a break or call a night. I'm going to say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. Finkelschiede was bitching about Elier James on his Christian Genius forum, and old Clint Downey went ahead and came up with a cartoon about with the thing here. Essentially they changed it to where they didn't have enough room. Didn't have enough room on the calendar. That's why it ends in 12/12/2012. But the new one is that they never thought they'd reselect Obongo, but after he gets elected here, there's not going to be any more days after 12/12/12. So yeah, I think Elier may end up holding the 12/12/12 show. The thing about it is though, who's he going to go ahead and have? He ain't going to have Little Sword Mamzer. I was listening to Brian Real Sword Mamzer. I was listening to Finkelschiede some. They were essentially doing the Hitler Worship Hour Saturday night. And you had essentially Brian Real. I mean, pretty well 10-10-10. Pretty well pissed me off. I didn't know Brian Real's name then. But I knew the critter was a Mamzer. Here they are letting a Mamzer pretend to be a Christian identity sub-minister of theirs. So I don't know who Eli James will get. He might get Dan Kersey. He might end up getting Dan Johns. He might end up getting the Pisser Possum.
Who knows? Who cares? Folks, these people are pissed off because I am redoing Bertrand Comparé's sermons. They don't like that. They don't like people getting to hear original dual seed line Christian identity. Heck, you even had Mongoloids. Well, some of what Comparé says is interesting, and they're bitching about me plagiarizing Comparé. Well, I'm not plagiarizing Comparé. I make it quite clear that Comparé did these sermons. And in any case, I might very well, you know, if we get Wesley Swift, I have some time. I might very well I have time. I might very well get some, Wesley Swift sermons, which, pretty well I've covered from creation to the flood and what happened to Cain. And what, there's been 5 shows so far. So essentially I'll go ahead and look. And in any case, if there's somebody who, has a Wesley Swift, speech here, and it has an actual transcript here that I can go ahead and post, and it has to do with, from Adam's creation to Bertrand Comparé's, to the flood, I will go ahead and consider, putting out some Wesley Swift. Okay? So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and, do you have Hattie the Meerkat? You have Hattie the Meerkat here. What is A-J-A-N? It's anti-Jew, anti-nigger. Okay, A-J-A-N. So, I don't know. I don't know if I see Hattie the Meerkat. I don't see Hattie the Meerkat at all here. False meerkat sightings. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and, strictly legal, wide earth, baby, wide earth. And I guess Jim Giles never figured out that not only was Wyatt Earp a damn Yankee from Illinois who went through Lamar, and you end up having some Earp, relatives here. They're Anglo Mestizos now. They call themselves ARP, though, E-A-R-P. They call themselves ARP. And they are pigs. They're crooked pigs, too, here in Oklahoma. But, folks, Wyatt Earp here was not only a damn Yankee. He was a brothel keeper. And he essentially was a whorehouse bouncer who got a badge and murdered these other Confederate, cattle and horse thieves, rustlers called the Clantons Arizona. That's what they were. In the meantime, you have the Apaches bringing their own violence to it here. So, hey, Wyatt Earp. Wyatt Earp was a Yankee brothel bouncer, and whorehouse. He lived off the earnings of whores, including, his Esther Kykes Jew wife, Josephine Marcus here. She was a known Esther Kykes whore. So, folks, any case here, Kurt Russell. Speaking of Kurt Russell, there's a wigger who's getting him some June Tang too here. So I don't know. Does Jim Giles long for the days of a menage a trois in Paris here with a married lady and a negress here, a mulattoist or whatever? I don't know. Water, maybe. Was good enough for Wyatt Earp is good enough for me. Give me that old-time Esther Kykes poontang. Anyway, I don't think so. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and definitely call now. I'm going to say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
Well, maybe Jim Giles thought that Wyatt Earp was Kevin Costner, the Jew. I'll leave it be here. Hail Victory, folks. And yeah, they are.